Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, Angels. I'm so excited to be here tonight. We have a special speaker, and she's a really good friend of mine and knows her stuff. I'm going to say it like that, but it's Dr. Lynn Lafferty. I'm going to tell, Lynn, I want you to tell everybody who you are and what you do, because bottom line, you make a great friend, you're a great doctor, and I know you've got your own story of how you came to the success that you have today in your life. Didn't start out from inspiration. I think that you had a tough, most of us start with desperation or inspiration. So I think that you were at one time a pretty sick person with illness, and now you're healthy and you're teaching all of us how we can be healthy and create our own reality. That's what I'm saying about you. You create your own reality. That's your like mantra, or not your mantra, but it's your saying, like, you know what I mean? So, but share with everybody how you got started. And by the way, you guys, this is Dr. Lynn Lafferty. And so, Lynn,
well,
I'm going to turn it over to
Therese.
You.
Thank you, Therese, for inviting me this evening. And just to give you a little bit of my background, I went to University of Georgia and Medical College of Georgia, and I'm a pharmacist. And then I got ill. I wasn't even really that ill. I had a fibroid, and the doctor put me on a medication that made me very ill, and it made something called endometriosis grow into my intestine, and I had to have part of my intestine, my large intestine, removed. And I was put on drugs that made me even sicker. And unfortunately, my mother got cancer, and my cousin had cancer about 10 years before, and it was actually my cousin's husband, and he had gotten sick on chemo, and they wanted to keep giving him chemo even though he almost died. So she said, I don't know anything, you're the only health person. What do you think if I took him to a naturopathic doctor? And I didn't know anything about it, but I read a great book by Ralph Moss, who wrote the book The Cancer Industry, and talked about how there is only the treatments get out that come from major universities and are mostly funded by our government and pharmaceutical companies. So anyway, I said, take him to this naturopathic doctor, and the naturopathic doctor showed him how the body can heal itself and gave him herbs and diet. And lo and behold, I saw him last year at a wedding, and he looks amazing, and he hasn't been sick since. And that was, 25 years ago, I guess, that he was sick. So I went to that naturopathic doctor because I took my mother there, and he said, if you don't go on these herbs and diet, you're going to end up the same way she did. And lo and behold, I did that, and I felt amazing. So I went back, and I got my naturopathic doctor. So I have a doctorate in pharmacy called the PharmD, and I also have a naturopathic doctor, and I'm a clinical nutritionist, and I'm also a master herbalist because I really love how the plants work and really wanted to understand that.
Oh, wow. Wow, wow, wow. She's also a professor in her spare time. She's a professor at a university. So what a long list of stuff that you have and that you do. Lynn, I have a question for you, because I know, and I lived with Lynn when I was really sick and recuperating, and she really helped me recuperate, or the things that she did for me and the nutrition really helped me recuperate so much quicker, and I appreciate it so very much. But you have a theory, not a theory, but this, you live your life like this. You go, you can create your own reality, you know, and on every level, your mind, body, and spirit, and you believe that. How do you practice that? And what do you teach people? Do you teach it do you teach it in classes? Do you teach it the way you live? Because people are, you know, I got somebody just texted me. How does she believe that she can create her own reality? And I know it's the law of attraction.
Also the law of how are we programmed. So, you know, the first thing I ask my students, because for years I had a clinic and pharmacy students would rotate through my clinic, and I would ask them a question. If you go to the doctor's office and you are given a diagnosis of cancer. And everybody just right now feel that. What does that feel like? It feels horrible. It's, you know, because of the word of the perception of what does that mean? You know, everybody can have their own version of what chemo and radiation means and all those types of things. And then they tell you, you have 3 months to live. What do you think happens if you align with that and think the doctor knows everything, or if you don't align and say, I'm going to find a different way? And how do you feel about that? So they actually did a study where they did breast biopsies on women, and they didn't know if they had cancer or not, and neither did the resident didn't know whether they had cancer or not. And what they found in the study was that the women who said, I don't have cancer, were much more likely not to have cancer. The women who said, if I have it, I'm going to fight it, had better outcomes. So what is it about that? And one of the things that we're finding, and there's a lot of studies, I pulled a few studies too, about, you know, the placebo effect, mind over matter, perception, a patient perception of illness, how it makes the difference, or researchers that were in Australia that looked at this. So that's the first thing, you know, how do you feel about the information? The second thing I have my students do is they go to, if they go to the website of Harvard or they go to Johns Hopkins, and I have them look up rheumatoid arthritis, it'll say, we have no idea what causes this disease, and we have no idea what cures the disease. Then when I have them go to the medical library, and I ask them to look at microbes or gut flora and rheumatoid arthritis, there's 40 different studies that implicate gut bacteria in rheumatoid arthritis. And that's where I work with rheumatoid arthritis when I see it. So how are we being programmed? Most doctors are going to take, you know, Johns Hopkins and Harvard over what I say, but here's 40 studies. I guess they didn't look at them. I have no idea,
wow.
You know. So that's the kind of thing that I'm talking about is we've been programmed to believe a certain way. Do we believe it? Don't we? Is it true? Isn't it? So that's what, if you have the reality you're creating, I've got cancer, I'm going to die or whatever, then that will probably be your reality. If you say, I don't believe it, or I'm going to have another test, I'm going to fight it, I don't have to die, well, that probably will be your reality too.
That, okay, yeah. So you're saying we're programmed to think a certain way, and it's like the world is flat until we got a different opinion and then went through, you know, whatever we had to go through for us to realize that the world really isn't, you know what I'm saying, and we proved that the earth was round. So
exactly.
How do we change that today? Okay, so and people are asking me questions. I told them I just sent out an email about you're going to take questions the next time you're on. So, but here's a question: how do we start changing that today? All right, you know, we thought a certain way for years. How do we start? What do you suggest? It's the
well,
way we
one
eat.
Of it,
is it the way we think? Is it all of it?
Well, I think the perception of what that is makes a bigger difference of what you eat. It's your perception of it. Now, I happen to eat all organic food. I take herbs myself. My perception is, and I was raised like this, my grandmother had a 150-acre farm. She was half Native American, which I didn't even find out until 3 months ago because she used to deny it because she owned property and you couldn't own property back then, I guess, if you were Native American. And I saw a woman, she didn't have electricity, and I thought it was funny because, you know, as a child, we were like, oh, we don't want to go there because we can't watch cartoons. But she would say, this affects your body. Well, there's all sorts of research now how electrical lines and things, EMFs, affects your endocrine system and things. So she knew how, from her intuition, And she knew, because she knew how to grow things. She understood how nature works. She understood that the same principles of organic farming are the same principles of natural medicine. My grandmother knew all of this. So I saw a woman who was in her 80s climbing fruit trees, had her teeth, not all of them, but used her own teeth. So I saw what good health looked like from my grandmother. So how much, you know, there's a question of, let's say if you saw your mother die of breast cancer when she was 35 and you were a child, you were programmed with that. So there's this whole question about, well, is it genetic predisposition, or did you all, are, you know, that's going to create a fear in you. Are you always going to have that fear, I'm going to get breast cancer, and then it shows up? So, you know, that's a very important question that we have to ask ourselves. And I believe 95 or 99% is becoming aware of that belief system. You have to become aware of it first before you can shift it.
Okay, so I get you. So, because they say 80% of our emotional programming is done by the age of 8. Did you know that? And then we have the rest is done, 15% is at 18, and then we have 5% to play with and to change. Right. So you're saying that, okay, you have a serious illness or a serious disease, and then you can change it by changing the way you think and your perception, but it means that you got to think outside of your box, right? And that's what you did.
Well, you
right?
got to think outside of the box that you were programmed with, and yes, and it was. And I also really believe, and I've seen this so many times, a couple of things, time and time again. I just believe you will get led to your answer. You know, you have to just be patient, number one, and number two, you have to recognize it. You know, it's that story. I love that story about the man where the flood was coming, and he was praying to God to save him, and, you know, up came, I think it was a fire truck. No, God's going to save me. And then there was a boat, and then there was a helicopter, and then he drowned. And when he got to the pearly gates, he said, God, I thought you were going to save me. He said, well, I sent you a fire truck, a helicopter, and a boat. What else do you want here, you know? So I think that, you know, we have to be on a lookout that it's going to happen and not be surprised the way it came. One of the biggest surprises I ever had was one of my good friends. He was a pathologist, and he told me one day, he owned his own lab, pathology lab, because, you know, half the time I guess whether or not people have cancer, and I'm like, what? He's like, yeah, I guess it. I really don't even know if they have cancer or not, because cancer is just an abnormal cell. Well, we get abnormal cells, I guess, that aren't cancer, and we get abnormal cells that are cancer, and he said it's not like one has an orange sign that says I'm a cancer cell, so sometimes it's very difficult. And I put on a medical conference once, and we had an MD, PhD, who ran one of the big NIH cancer centers from University of Missouri. He had a PhD in immunology, and he was a pathologist. And I said, oh, we have a question from the audience. How easy is it to determine if someone has cancer as a pathologist? And he goes, wow, that's a weird question. I never heard that question. And he said, it's not that easy. It's difficult. So, you know, these things aren't in black and white as we've been led to believe. So,
wow. Okay. So, it's really, we're just, you're saying, and it's, correct me if I'm wrong, you're saying instead of following a doctor or a doctor's diagnosis per se, then you ask the questions and ask to be given an answer or a different answer or the right answer, correct? And it, in whatever way it shows up, and it could be with a naturopath doctor, it could be, you know, your intuition leading you somewhere or whatever. That's cool.
Yeah, I mean,
I like that.
If you really believe that chemo is going to help you, or you really believe that a drug is going to help you, I think that can help you too, you know, absolutely.
I agree with you on that too as well, and you and I have talked about that before. Let me ask you a question, Lynn, and this is a key thing, I think, Do you feel that we, as each of us as an individual, can heal ourselves of whatever, you know? For me, it's been sugar issues. For you, it's something else. For in any of us, it's different. But so we go to the doctor and you go, okay, doctor, heal me or give me some medicine. Instead of saying that, say, okay, doctor, how do I heal myself? I use chemo, or do I, you know, or whatever. Do you believe that we all have the ability to heal ourselves, or do we do and take that power, power for us? Is that important? Is that a key?
Well, I think so. I mean, you know, the Christian scientists have believed that forever. And I went one day to a Christian Science church in Boca, and I think every person there was 100 years old. It was amazing. I've never been to a church with such old people, or maybe they live a long life, or they age really rapidly in that church. When they're really 50, they look 100. But it was amazing, and I've always wanted to do that study because, you know, they don't take medicine. They take literal asking you shall receive. And my church, I go to the Church of Religious Science, and we believe that as well, is that you ask and you will receive. To us is a law, like gravity. And the thing is, it may come in the form of a drug. It may come in the form of an herb. You know, however that shows up, are you accepting of it? So I think it depends on the person, yeah, what they believe.
Okay, cool. I like that. Now, let's talk about this, because you and I have had numerous conversations about this. Lynn and I would meditate together. She is the only professor I knew that would bring her students over and teach them how to meditate. It was great. Do you remember? Do you remember that with Wayne Dyer?
Yeah,
it was cool. But the one question I have for you is, okay, somebody's got negative thinking, they're just full of being a victim or being very angry. How much does that play in perception, healing themselves, realizing that they have other choices? How do you change the thinking there? Does it start there, or is there somewhere else to start? That's a good question, because, you know, I just got somebody say, well, my boyfriend has been, you know, he's got cancer and blah, blah, blah. She just texted me. So, but he's angry,
right,
and he feels like he's a victim.
Right.
What do you
right.
do? I mean, that's a big one.
Well, I think, first of all, what is she doing for herself? I mean, that's the most important thing, because honestly, one of the things you really have to realize that each of us is on a journey. And I tell my students that, because they would get frustrated and say, but Dr. Lafferty, you helped this person. Why are they doing this again? Or why isn't this person coming to see you? Or, you know, whatever. They would get really frustrated. And you know what? We all are choosing our path, and we're all going to die at some point, and that's okay too. You know, that's okay too. I know when my mother got ill, what I prayed for her was just to have peace. So, you know, I think, and she had great peace like I had never seen in her life, because she'd had a lot of turmoil in her life. And that was the blessing for me, going through that with my mother. So, you know, we can't put our perceptions on how somebody wants to die, or wants to, if they're ready to cross over or whatever. We can't put our perceptions on anyone else. I had an interesting cancer case. This lady came, and I don't know if you are still staying with me or not, but this lady came and she said, oh, no, I'll do the meditation. She had cancer. I'm really spiritual and this and that. And no, nobody's bothering me. And no, she kept telling me she didn't want to die. And I kept really putting pressure on her. And finally, I said to her, well, what about your husband? And she just blurted out, I can't stand them. It's the only way to get I've been with him for 30 years. It's the only way for me to get out away from him is get out of here, you know. So that was her reality. So we can't put how we think or our reality onto other people. We have to have a degree of acceptance and blessing and, you know that this person's on their journey, which whatever that might be. I think that's very important for the rest of us.
That is so key. Okay, so see, you know, when I've had speakers on here before, and a lot of us, we feel that, okay, if we live, you know, how can we help them? And it's really not us to help them, it's to help ourselves. And if we're helping ourselves being the best we can be, what you're saying is, and then part of being the best we can be is being responsible for our own thoughts, our own feelings, and letting them do the same for themselves. Is that correct? That's what you're saying, right?
Yes, and for the woman who's boyfriend or husband's angry that's going through this, it's just to be in prayer. Know this is a holy time, just like birth, death is a holy time. And I don't know, maybe he'll decide not to go. Maybe he'll decide to go. I don't know, and I don't judge any of that, because I can only judge things for how they affect me. And so what I just, when
okay.
I, each patient that comes in, I say a prayer that, you know, they get the healing that they're seeking.
Right. Okay, so maybe the healing that they're seeking is just to understand that it's their time to go, or it's their time to get well by going, or it's their time to get well by using natural, your medicine that you practice. Okay, interesting.
Yeah, I mean,
yeah,
I've had people who come in, that a pharmacist who, you know, was programmed this certain way, and they told her breast cancer was so aggressive that she needed chemo and radiation like yesterday, and she said, I don't think so. And she came and she did the diet, she read books, she went to the Bahamas and did something there, I think, that was kind of an immune building. And, you know, her cancer resolved itself. It went away. And then she got, her mother died, and she got really, really upset. And then it came back again. And, you know, she was in turmoil with a boyfriend. But she's still alive today. So because she recognized, like, her boyfriend wasn't a healthy situation, she got out of that. She started living with her children. So it's just really, you know, what do you have to live for? I mean, there's so many things that are going on. And I think it's so, you know, in our society, it's so unrealistic. I see these doctors, because I work with medical doctors and osteopathic doctors, pharmacists, and they're told, you have to save people's lives, you know, and that's a great thing. But on the other hand, it's kind of unrealistic because, you know, we're all going to make a transition. So what kind of pressure is that putting on them, you know, and stress, and the more stress they are. Stress anybody is the worst job they're going to do for people. So it's just it's kind of an unfortunate thing, I think, of what we're programmed in our society.
I agree with you, because when you come on again, I told them that they could text me, just, you know, and if they have questions. I have a client that just texted me. She's got a daughter, and her daughter is, you know, you're not there enough for me, and you need to do this, this, and this. And her daughter's like, I guess, 19, 20 years old. And mom's just tired. You know, her daughter has a lot of issues. So when it comes to kids, it's almost like you got to do the same thing. You provide for them, because when they're a minor, and then you say, okay, now you're responsible for yourself. Here's the puzzle. Create the best puzzle you possibly can.
I think being in prayer is the most important thing, because you praying for yourself, what do you want to see outside of yourself? So if you want to see a healthy people outside, and if you are projecting, you know, if you're creating a reality and you're projecting it outside of yourself, then you need to feel the part of you, the mother needs to feel the part of her that's her daughter. Because there's some, whatever that is, I mean, if you see a victim outside of you, we all have a victim, and I have a victim, we all have a victim inside of us, you know? We all have those things inside of us. So if we feel the victim inside of us and give it some attention and say, yeah, you're there, but you don't have to disrupt my life. And then when you're connected to, I'll call it God, it doesn't matter what we call it, our higher self, all there is, the great spirit, when you're connected to that and you know that anything is possible, then feel that strength. So recognize the weakness outside of you. When you see someone outside of you being a victim, oh my gosh, let me feel the victim inside of me. oh, yeah, it's there. I see it. And feel it because it wants that energy, wants attention. And then move on and say, you know what? You're not going to affect me anymore. I'm connected to the Creator. Therefore, there's nothing that's not possible. I'm strong. I'm not a victim because I'm creating everything with my higher power. Now, how empowering is that? And how does that feel to everyone? That feels amazing. So when you come from
right.
that, and then you've kind of helped your daughter to feel whatever she's feeling because if it's being projected outside by you, actually. So does that make sense?
Okay, so what you're saying is it's projected, yes, okay. She's feeling this way, and so if I go outside of myself and feel that way with her, then when I go inside of myself and feel the empowerment, then she can do the same. We can just reverse it, correct?
Right, because you can only work on yourself. You can only change yourself. You can only really work on yourself. You can pray for others. And just, I believe that just feeling that, I'm just going to use victim. I heard you say, I don't know if this was that lady, but I'm just going to say victim. Just, you know, feel the victim. We can all do it right now. Feel the victim inside of us. We can feel it there. And it doesn't feel so good, but that's okay. Just feel
right.
it. And you want to put a smile on your face and say, I know you're there, but you know what? I'm connected to my higher self. And when I'm connected there, when I go to meditation, I feel connected to the Holy Spirit, whatever you want to call it. I know I'm empowered and anything can happen. So I'm not really a victim at all. So there's a victim inside of me. That's fine and cute and whatever. When you feel that for yourself because you've shifted your energy, everybody's energy is going to shift outside of you. It has to because it's now at a different frequency. It can't remain the way it was because you're at a different frequency. It can't stay there.
Okay, so you're – okay, gotcha. So you're saying that once I feel it, I acknowledge it, okay, give it you know, hey, you're here. Then and I say, okay, Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit, you know, whatever you want to call it, higher power, I choose to live in joy and love or whatever you say, and then you raise your vibration and everyone outside of you has to, or they can't associate with you. Okay, I get it. Okay, because it's like a race car. If a race car is going, you know, super fast, right, then the car that's just a broken down car is not going to work on that racetrack. It's going to get, you know, blown away. Gotcha. All right. Sounds, is that right?
Yeah, because we couldn't recognize someone being like a victim if we didn't have that victim in us. Because how could we recognize it? We wouldn't know it.
That's right. All right, right. It's like learning to do Chinese. If we don't know Chinese language, then we wouldn't recognize the Chinese language when it's spoken to us. I gotcha. I'm trying to find,
exactly.
like, you know, the example. Okay, go ahead.
You always come up with
okay.
really good ones. I love it. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah, I was sitting there going, oh, that's like really smart, Lynn. Anyway, that's funny. But, yeah, okay, so go ahead. What were you saying to I didn't mean to interrupt you. I was just getting the examples
in my
head.
No. I just said we used to call those humdingers. That's all. No. no, I think
that's
these
it.
Studies, I'll tell you, there's a lot of really good information that's coming out. And I just want to read this. This was in Science Daily. It was in January of 2012. And it said it was in the current directions in psychological science. Which was the University of Auckland in down in Australia, and it says that they reviewed the existing literature on patients' perceptions of illness. The authors find that people's illness perceptions bear a direct relationship to several important health outcomes, including their level of functioning and ability, utilization of healthcare, adherence to treatment plans laid out by healthcare professionals, and even overall mortality. In general, our illness perceptions emerge out of our beliefs about illness and what illness means in the context of our lives. So we might have beliefs about how an illness is caused, how long it will last, how it will impact us or our family, and how we can control or cure it. The bottom line is that patients' perceptions of their illness guide their decisions about health. If, for example, we feel like a prescribed treatment isn't making us feel better, we might stop that treatment. So how important our perceptions are of our doctor. And we used to have this perception that the doctors knew everything because we were taught, this I think really came back in the probably the 50s or whatever, is with the emergence of this kind of industrialized medicine, if you will, that, oh, they know better than us, and that the doctor is a god, and whatever he says, go, and I'm going to do everything he says. And now with the emerging internet and everything, things are shifting where people are going, wait a minute, you know, this person actually took natural antibiotics for rheumatoid arthritis, and they cured themselves in a month. So, you know, I don't want to be on these crippling drugs that are can cause, have all these really negative side effects. So, you know, it's a really kind of exciting time, I think, in what's going on in the world today. So
that's cool. I like that. I really do. You know, one of my, she's a friend too as well, clients, she actually healed herself of Lyme's disease, took herself, you know, took herself, replaced it with natural things, and took herself off the medicine, worked with nutritionists and doctors and naturopath doctors, and now has healed herself of Lyme's disease. But you remember, you and I have a mutual friend, Michael, who's got Lyme's disease, and he's still suffering from it. And I go, what is the difference between these two? It's really how they approached it and what they did, and she found something that gave her a great deal of joy. Horseback riding, and now, you know, and then just, and said, I'm going to do this. I know why I have this. Now I'm going to release it. Lynn's the most amazing story. She's actually put it on the Facebook.com/angelcoaches, I think, last night. Okay. So, but it's the, some of the things that you're teaching us right now, you know, perception. And she goes, I can do this. And she did it. Where the other one is still suffering and in bed most of the time, you know. So it works. You can heal yourself of anything, right? That's what I'm doing.
I too. Think so.
That's good.
I do. Think
you guys,
so, yeah.
Lynn, go ahead, please. Please, I want to. You were going to say something. Once again, interrupted you. I'm trying to get better
no,
about
go
that.
Ahead. No, please, go ahead. No, go.
Lynn is going to be on with us every month. She is an amazing doctor. She's an amazing person, and will and helped. She's helped tons and tons of people, lots and lots of people, and I appreciate her being here with Angel Coaches. And she's so we're working some things out where she can be with us even more. But she's got in, her philosophy, I think, is that anybody can heal themselves of anything, and I like that. And you know, I know it's working for me. And you,
if they choose, and if they don't choose, that's all right too. So you know, it's but. If we can be conscious that we do have a choice and get connected to our Creator so that we feel empowered that anything's possible, I think that's the biggest thing, because we're here. We were each given a holy, be connected to the Holy Spirit, given a spirit, and that's our divine right to live our life. And we can love others. We can pray for others. We can only heal ourselves. So I think that's the biggest thing. And what an honor to be with you tonight and your audience. So I want to thank everyone for listening.
Well, we're glad you're here. We're looking forward to having you back. You guys, she's gonna share some real insightful and really new things with us, and I'm excited about it. So look for Lynn next month being in October. And so I have it on this is going to be an iTunes. It'll be on record that she's going to be with us. Right, Lynn? Yes. You come back,
okay.
Won't you?
I will.
Okay,
sure.
Yes. So that being said, we've got some new things coming out, too, on Blog Talk. And then Joelle and I are launching a new show on BBS. So we're going to have Blog Talk and BBS. I'm excited about it. He's all about the body, and you guys know he's a fitness guru, a personal trainer. He's the one that's helping me get in shape. Lynn, I swear, you know what? I've got more energy, and I'm in much better shape than I've ever been, and it's really the way I choose to live. And my dad can't believe it. He's like, what happened to you? It's all good. But he and I are going to do a show on that. I'm, like, super excited. On BBS, and of course Joelle will be here on Blog Talk Radio too as well. We've got Allison Gill, who's all about the family and children and works with kids with different abilities, psychic abilities, some of them have got some great gifts, and she's getting ready to do a workshop with parents and children, how to work with these children, how to work with the Crystal Rainbow and Indigo kids, how to work with these kids that, you know, can be challenging. And that she's coming, that workshop's going to be in October. She's going to be a speaker on her show the fourth Thursday of this month. And then, of course, Diane and I are doing a relationship show with our book, You Mean There's a Law That Says He's Attracted to Me. We wanted to start a new series of shows. We were going to do it last week, but we're going to start it this week with kids, young teens, and adults. Lynn, you and I talked about this, too, as well. We got kids right now. I got a story of a parent that told me her daughter was in the bathroom, school called because there was her and another young kid were in the bathroom. Boy, you know, not the best situation there. So, you know, that starts, gotta work on things and show these kids some different things to do so that they can grow up and be, if they choose, to be the best adults possible. So we're going to start a whole series of shows regarding that. I'm excited about it, too, as well, and have some special speakers on. And so that being that, if you go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/angelcoaches, like us if you haven't already, and then also go read Victoria Whitehead and her healing of her body of Lyme disease. Amazing story and where she's at now. And, of course, follow us on Blog Talk because you get to know things before anybody else does. And Blog Talk itself sends out some really cool information to the followers on Blog Talk. And so blogtalk.com/angelcoaches, I think, is how you find us. And I think that's all for tonight. We will see you on Sunday. Everybody have a wonderful weekend. Lynn, you are wonderful. Take care, and thank you for being here tonight. She's actually coming out with a new cookbook, too. What's the name of your cookbook? It's going to be a good one because she's a great cook.
Yeah. I don't have the name of it yet, but, yeah, we'll be coming out with something soon. So thank you so much again. Have a good night. Okay.
No, you too. It's a great cookbook. That's what we should call it. Great cookbook by Dr. Larry. Bye, everybody.